Today on Seculo, FBI Director Kash Patel issues a warning that he believes more indictments are coming.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host.
Welcome to Seculo. I'm Will Haynes. And there's a new warning for the deep state. And it's not coming from a critic on the outside. It's not coming from a show like ours that analyzes what we see and tells you the ramifications of it. But it's coming from someone who knows, at this point, exactly how deep the corruption runs. FBI Director Kash Patel told Just the News, friend of this broadcast, led by John Solomon, that the indictments that we've seen so far are, quote, just the beginning. He says investigators are chasing criminal activity by people in positions of power, and that after 20 years of building what he calls a diseased temple of corruption, these walls are finally starting to crack. If he's right, this could finally be that moment of accountability that so many of us have been calling for a very long time now. And just after this break, I will play you exactly what the FBI director said so you can determine for yourself what you think. Do you think this is more of the same? Are you jaded by what we've seen over decades of promises of accountability and no action? Or do you think that this could finally be the moment that all of the corruption gets uncovered and people are held accountable and the system is fixed? Because it's not just about holding people accountable. It's about making sure these things never happen again. And by the words of the director, it sounds like that's his goal too. But I also want to hear from you. I want you to call me at 1-800-684-3110. Let me know what you think about this. We'll play exactly what he said in just a few moments when we get back from a break. But we have a packed show today. We have Secretary Mike Pompeo joining us to talk about a phone call that President Trump is on right now with Vladimir Putin. And if the momentum from the Gaza peace deal that President Trump was able to secure and is working towards, if that could carry over into some of these other conflicts that have been a big agenda item for the president ever since he was running for president to put an end to. How does Vladimir Putin see what President Trump was able to pull off in Gaza with a terrorist group and the state of Israel? So we're going to get to that as well. We also have Rick Grinnell joining us. He will be discussing that as well as a very interesting programming that they had at the Kennedy Center, because it's not what the news is telling you. What the media wants you to believe about what Rick Grinnell has done at the Kennedy Center is not what is actually taking place at the Kennedy Center. And we'll talk about that with him as well. But once again, these comments from the FBI director, they come at a time where we've seen indictments already. We've seen James Comey indicted for false statements to Congress. We've seen Letitia James indicted for mortgage fraud. And there's reporting that even today, a grand jury was convened and was presented by the government, by the Department of Justice, an indictment against former National Security Advisor John Bolton for transmitting classified information, something he was highly critical of the president for allegedly doing when Jack Smith was looking at the retention of classified documents by the former president, President Trump. John Bolton had a lot to say about that. But then it appears that he had classified documents. I believe he called it extremely reckless. He was doing something very similar. And it's even alleged, according to a probable cause warrant, that his email account that he was sending these documents out of the government's safe places to his own personal email account had been hacked by foreign actors. So not taking due care to protect the secrets and national security of this country. But all of these things that are in the news, Kash Patel is saying, is just the beginning. So we will see. And I'll play for you when we get back exactly what Kash Patel told John Solomon just yesterday about what's coming. And we'll talk about it. Once again, call me at 1-800-684-3110. And remember, the ACLJ has been fighting this for a very long time. We've been filing FOIAs to uncover the truth, giving that to Congress, giving that to the American people to see the transparency. And that is one of the reasons why you support this organization. Support us today at ACLJ.org.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Seculo, I'm Will Haynes, and I'm going to get right back into this topic that we started about. This is Kash Patel, the director of the FBI, sat with John Solomon of Just the News yesterday and gave an interview about what they're doing at the FBI, about some of these indictments that we've already seen, and what's coming next. And I wanted to play that for you right at the top of this segment so it can kind of frame our conversation. I see many of you are already starting to call in. And after you hear this, if you have thoughts on it, call me at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. But let's go ahead and play this. This is John Solomon asking a question to Director Kash Patel about these indictments we've already seen. That would be James Comey, Letitia James, what is expected, John Bolton. He even makes reference to that by saying indictments you've seen and some that may be coming. He says they're just the beginning. So let's go ahead and play bite one. This is John Solomon with Kash Patel.
Beyond those who are already charged, do you think you've seen other crimes that might eventually get referred to justice?
Yes, we are looking at so many different leads on criminal activity by those who are in positions of power. And we're not going to stop until every single one of those is fully exposed. The documents are provided either to Congress or the courts of law and make every referral we can into the Department of Justice. These indictments that you've seen and the ones that you're going to see coming up here in this near future are just the beginning. But I have to remind the audience one thing. Everybody's like, it's 7 months. What have you guys been doing?
Yeah.
Well, they spent 20 years building this disease temple of corruption. It takes a little bit of time to defeat it and beat it down. And I'm not asking you to trust me. I'm asking you to look at the work the men and women of the FBI have done so far in these 7-8 months and just imagine what we're going to do come the year end.
Imagine what we're going to do come the year end. Talking about they have spent 20 years building this diseased temple of corruption. And it also strikes me because we talked yesterday on the show about Jack Smith, about how he gave that interview and how there was a letter from the Judiciary Committee in the House from Jim Jordan, the chairman there, asking for information about his special counsel investigation into President Trump. He had multiple, actually. It was one related to obstruction of the official proceedings and January 6th, as well as the classified documents probe that Jack Smith had going on down in Florida. And that is, remember, they raided the president's home. They were using phone records to get the phone records and spy on sitting senators, eight of them, and a member of the House. And the team of Jack Smith wouldn't even answer the questions of the Judiciary Committee of, were there any other members of Congress swept up in this? They took their Fifth Amendment privilege on a question that simple. If they believed in what they were doing, that doesn't seem to be something that they would fear criminal jeopardy over if they were doing everything above board. Yet that is how they decided to respond to the oversight of the government, the constitutionally provided oversight of the Judiciary Committee over the Department of Justice and by proxy, the special counsel's office. But I it struck me because we talked about that yesterday, and there was that interview that Jack Smith did in London at the University College of London, and he talked about a lot of negative things. He was trying to contrast what he did in the prior Department of Justice with what the president and Pam Bondi and Kash Patel are doing now. He tried to make it as if they are rogue. They are not the way this needs to operate. And there was this bite that we didn't even play yesterday, but I want to play it now because in contrast with the diseased temple of corruption that Kash Patel, the director of the FBI, is saying, and what Jack Smith is trying to piously tell Andrew Weissman is how this should be run and how he operated. Let's go ahead and play bite two. This is from Jack Smith with Andrew Weissman in London. Very safe place for free speech, I've heard. But let's go ahead and run what he said yesterday, bite two.
You can't say, I want this outcome, let me throw the rules out. That's why, frankly, you see all these conflicts between the career apolitical prosecutors I worked with, because they're being asked to do things that they think are wrong, and because they're not political people, they're not going to do them. And I think that explains why you've seen the resignations, you've seen people leave the department. It's not because they're enemies of one administration or the next. They've worked through decades for different administrations. It's just they've been doing things apolitically forever. And when they're told, no, you got to get this outcome no matter what, that is so contrary to how we were all raised as prosecutors.
All right. I want to stop it right there because I want to push back and tell you why Jack Smith is an unserious person in this conversation. He said, you can't say, I want this outcome, let me throw the rules out. And he also said that you see all these conflicts between the career apolitical prosecutors I worked with because they're being asked to do things they think are wrong, and because they are not political people, they're not going to do them. And I think that explains why you're seeing all these resignations. If that is true, Jack Smith, I pose to you, and you're using this to criticize the Trump administration, the president who you investigated, where were those serious apolitical prosecutors, career prosecutors that you worked with when James Comey said, I want this outcome, let me throw all the rules out? Where were they? Why weren't there mass resignations when James Comey himself interfered with the 2016 election multiple times by going around the Attorney General, going around the Justice Department to give press conferences about Hillary Clinton's email server? Where were these serious career apolitical prosecutors then? Why didn't they walk out at the DOJ because Attorney General Loretta Lynch couldn't get a handle on the FBI director? Or what about when the FBI director decided to send FBI agents in covertly, as if nothing were going on, to the White House in the early days of the Trump administration in 2016, 2017 really, and trying to get information out of Michael Flynn? And when you were asked about that in an interview, why did they go? Because I sent them. Well, why did you do that? Because I could. Because they weren't organized yet. That's throwing out the rules so you can get the outcome you want. So if Jack Smith were a serious person and could have this piety about how he believes that the government and the justice system in America works, it's not that this is abnormal. As a matter of fact, these things that he's saying are abnormal, like prosecuting James Comey, are trying to get back to how justice should work in this country. He can't have it both ways. He can't say that these are just wanting an outcome, throwing out the book, and so therefore they're going after James Comey without criticizing James Comey for what he did to this country. And the hilarity of it being with Andrew Weissman himself, who was a part of Bob Mueller's team, which was the hoax perpetrated on this country by James Comey, by people in the Obama intelligence sphere, by saying that this Russia hoax even existed, and they perpetrated this on the country for years, wasted American taxpayer dollars, hamstrung the presidency. You can't take people seriously like this. And that is exactly the disease temple of corruption that Kash Patel is talking about. Because in reality, they are having it their way. And those prosecutors only resign out of protest when it's not the way that things have been done. But the way that things have been done have not been in line with how the Constitution set forward it to be done. These aren't political prosecutions. These are restoring justice in this country. But the media is going to keep saying, look, he's got a hit list, he's going after all these people. These people, if they are brought before a grand jury and indicted, first of all, he's also leaving off the fact they still have to go through the judicial process. They still have to be found guilty by a jury of their peers. It's not over once there's an indictment. So the entire conversation of these people that have been a part of this deep state, this diseased temple of corruption, that they're getting out there and speaking, they're trying to spin the narrative. It is pure propaganda because they are trying to make it seem like everything that this administration does is authoritarian, it is off the books, it is rogue. They're throwing the rules out when in reality they're going before a grand jury. James Comey never got a search warrant for the White House when he sent FBI agents in to go after Mike Flynn. That was throwing the rules out because he had an outcome he wanted. That's not how America works. In reality, what we're getting back to is that. But it's going to take a long time because it's been decades of this. It's entrenched. And so whenever you see something come out, the media, which has bought into the entrenched worldview of how things have been run, they're going to say this is authoritarian. This isn't playing by the rules. This is political retribution. When we've been living under regimes of political retribution for a very long time, and they're starting to tear that down. And hopefully we see that this diseased temple of corruption is just a house of cards, and it will crumble, and that true justice will rise out of that. So once again, if you want to talk to me about this, call me at 1-800-684-3110. I've got two lines already on hold. So Julie and Michelle, I'll get to you very shortly. We have Secretary of State Mike Pompeo joining us in the next segment because President Trump right now is on the phone with Vladimir Putin. He has a meeting later with Vladimir Zelensky. We are going to see if the momentum from the Gaza peace deal can be carried forward. And if we can see all of these conflicts that broke out under Joe Biden will go away.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Welcome back to Seculo. I'm Will Haynes, and I'm joined now by Senior Counsel for Global Affairs, Secretary Mike Pompeo. Secretary Pompeo, right now, the President of the United States is on the phone with Vladimir Putin. And he put this out on Truth Social. I am speaking to President Putin now. The conversation is ongoing, a lengthy one, and I will report the contents as will President Putin at its conclusion. Thank you for this attention to this matter. What we've seen is momentum coming out of this deal in Gaza. And now the president is having this phone call with Vladimir Putin ahead of a scheduled meeting with the president of Ukraine, Zelensky. If you had to guess, what do you think this conversation is like, with the president having momentum, getting a peace deal that many said would never even get to phase one in Gaza, and now looks like he's going to be putting pressure on the Russian president?
Well, it's great to be with you today. Look, I hate to predict an ongoing event in this way, but the context of this conversation is deeply different than it would have been even just a handful of weeks ago. Remember, not that long ago, President Trump met with Putin in Anchorage, where Putin was unwilling to actually lay down his weapons and can enter into a ceasefire to have negotiations about a fuller resolution of this. Today, now we've seen what President Trump did, right? He unleashed the Israelis. They moved into Gaza. They took a strike into Doha. President conducted Operation Midnight Hammer, right, demonstrating American power and resolve. And I think Putin must surely see the statements that President Trump has made over the last weeks about additional American weaponry, Tomahawk in particular, but I'm sure other American power projection tools as well. And I'm sure this conversation and the tone is very different than the one that they had just a few weeks ago, increasing the probability of President Trump being able to deliver some form of relief for Ukraine and for Europe in this conflict.
Well, and as you mentioned, there's that discussion about Tomahawk missiles escalating what the United States is willing to give to the Ukrainians, as they have held their own for quite some time. They've had support from the NATO countries. They've had support from the United States. But this would take it to another level for the Ukrainians, having access to this weaponry from the United States. And I feel like it's telling even that this call with Putin is happening prior to this meeting with Zelensky about this weaponry. And if you're the president of the United States, you've got to feel pretty good about your negotiating power after pulling off what even that phase one, so many people said this will never even get there in Gaza. This is another priority of the president's, though. He ran on ending the conflicts in Gaza as well as in Russia and Ukraine. You have to feel like that Vladimir Putin can't think that President Trump is bluffing at this point, based off the history that we've seen with those things that you've mentioned, whether it be Iran, whether it be Gaza, whether it be the way that he has handled many of these conflicts already.
Well, I think that's true. I would throw in the work that he's doing on enforcing U.S. borders and the work he's doing counter narcotics off the coast of Venezuela, right? All of those things give President Trump enormous credibility. It can't be the case for a second that Putin believes that Donald Trump is bluffing. Donald Trump doesn't bluff. It may or may not be the case that in the end those weapons are delivered, but it's not a bluff. It is about demonstrating to Vladimir Putin that, that it is time to lay down the weapons and conduct a ceasefire. So look, we'll see. The sequence of these calls is important. I think it was telling that he got on the phone with Putin before his meeting with Zelensky. He wants to know, when he sees Zelensky tomorrow, what the degrees of freedom are. He wants to know up to the minute exactly what Putin's view of this is. And then we should not forget for a second that over the last really 14 days, the Russians have engaged in attacks inside of Ukraine that have been bigger than any before. More missiles, more drones, more firepower against Ukrainian energy targets, trying to shut down the Ukrainian electricity grid. So Putin has also played a card. That is, he has demonstrated he can continue to reach into Ukraine, each of those, I think, sets the conditions for President Trump to be more likely to be successful in getting to something that looks and feels like a ceasefire for the people of Ukraine.
You mentioned what the president's done in Venezuela, and when you look at all of these global conflicts and situations, and it just seems very Reagan-esque in the way that President Trump has gone into these conflicts without putting boots on the ground, without getting us into foreign entanglements, but showcasing America's strength once again, something that I feel like, at least especially for the last 4 years, was a big void in the world. When you look at the way that President Trump is able to put America first in many of these places that have taken advantage of the United States' soft border or soft power around the world, I just want to get your take on that. It's Reagan-esque in one way, but it's obviously President Trump's own style and that bold fearlessness of going forward and putting America first in this world. I just want to get your take on that.
Well, you nailed it. It is a very President Trump model to use the tools that are most important to America. I would add to your collection, I would add his use of economic power, sanctions, tariffs, trade deals. All of those things are demonstrations of the enormous power of the American economy. And he has used those to put America first and put us in a better position, not only in the economic world, but in the security world as well. That will be part of the conversation today, I am confident as well. The Russian economy depends on its capacity to move goods around the world, to sell things to people. It sells oil and natural gas mostly. And I'm confident that will not only be a discussion about military things, Tomahawk missiles, American intelligence being shared, all of those things, but also the economic both risks to Vladimir Putin and to his economy, and the economic opportunities if Putin plays his cards correctly for their country to rejoin the global economic architecture.
Mr. Secretary, thank you so much for joining us today with your expertise. This is always important times to have a voice like yours that has been there, has been in the room for these types of situations, but also being able to break down how this all plays together and how the United States can move forward as the leaders of the free world. Thank you again for joining us today. And folks, we're going to get back to that topic that we started off with, the interview with FBI Director Kash Patel, talking with John Solomon about what's coming, what's going forward. And I'm going to take your phone calls. I'm going to start in the next segment. We only got about a minute and a half in this one. So Michelle and Julie, hang on the line. I'll get you in the next segment. But if you want to join, call 1-800-684-3110. Let's talk about this. What do you think about what the FBI director said? Do you think that this is the beginning of a reshaping and reforming and bringing our justice system back to its former glory, bringing it back to what the Constitution has laid out, getting rid of the deep state actors, getting rid of the corruption? Or are you jaded by how many times we've called for accountability and we've not gotten the accountability that really sets the system right? Give me a call, 1-800-684-3110. I want to talk about it. But remember, this is a fight the ACLJ has been engaged in for a long time. We know it can feel disheartening sometimes, but that is why we are here and we continue to fight. We file FOIA requests. We file lawsuits. We push back where we see corruption, whether it be at the federal level, within agencies, and we work with the administration and the government where we can, or whether it be at state levels, local levels, we're fighting for our clients and we're fighting for the constitutional freedoms that make this country great. Because if you don't fight for them, they will slip away. So join us today and donate at ACLJ.org to keep us in the fight. Make your voice heard by supporting us at ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever. This is Seculo.
Welcome back. This is our second half hour of Seculo. I'm Will Haynes, and we're talking about this interview that Kash Patel did with John Solomon yesterday, where John Solomon asked, beyond those who are already charged, do you think you've seen other crimes that might eventually get referred to justice, meaning the Justice Department? And he said, yes, we're looking at so many different leads on criminal activity by those who are in positions of power. And they're not going to stop until every single one of those is fully exposed. And then he goes on to talking about that everyone's like, what have you done? It's been 7 months. And he says, they spent 20 years building this diseased temple of corruption. It takes a little bit of time to defeat it and beat it down. I'm not asking you to trust me. I'm asking you to look at the work the men and women of the FBI have done so far in these 7-8 months and imagine what we're going to do come year end. Let's go to the phones now. Michelle in Washington State, watching on YouTube, you're on Seculo.
Thank you for taking my call, Will. I am thrilled to see, after being a supporter since the 90s, to see people being taken to account constitutionally and the work that Kash Patel is doing. And my question today is, I'm curious, when I saw Tulsi Gabbard deny access to 37 people in the intel, she stated in her her report that it was a violation because of a violation of their oath. And that 14th Amendment Section 3 was created, and I've been reading these ratification debates where Jefferson and Madison literally debating with people like, I want to say his name, it starts with an H. anyway, they outlined and specified the meaning of every single line and article of not just the Constitution, but the Bill of Rights. And they stated in there that the character of man was not enough, that their oath had to mean something. And when you challenge somebody on their oath, you're not taking their life or their liberty or their property. They're being banished from office because they violated the Constitution. I have 12 petitions ready to go and trying to educate the public that if they sign these petitions, as we did with the Tories Act, asking the king to enforce his own laws, and said he came back with more laws, taxes, and soldiers in our homes, and thus the revolution began, they took that example and made sure we didn't have to do a bloody revolution again. And when I see Gavin and Ferguson writing these laws that violate their own state constitution, the AB 495, I'm sure you know about that, taking children out of the school, and it's just violating so much. My curiosity is that the referral for these petitions on the U.S. Constitution violations would go to the DOJ. And I would like to hear, because that's the movement here in Washington State. We are starting to write
Michelle,
our own.
Michelle, when you start to look at it too, if you were to go through every member of Congress that may have voted outside the interest of their oath of office, I don't know that we'd have anyone left in this country to be in office at this point. And that is the sad reality of what we've seen take place in D.C. over the last decades, is that the way that the interests of special interest and of the party leadership have gotten in the way of real leadership. And you've seen this bipartisan division. I mean, you can even look at that within this government shutdown right now. The entire Democrat caucus in both the House and in the Senate are derelict in their duty. They have decided that they want to hold the government hostage and the members of the military and members of the government that won't be receiving paychecks because of their political agenda. I mean, that doesn't sound like they're beholden to their oath of office. It sounds like they're beholden to their political agenda. So, I mean, that's a whole different show. That's a whole different can of worms that we could open and rabbit trail we could go down. But at the end of the day, I think that is part of what you're seeing within the government now. What you're seeing from Kash Patel, from many of those that are once again looking at where we go from here, is getting people back to the basics, getting people back to the Constitution. And we'll be right back with more and Rick Rennell on Seculo.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Welcome back to Seculo. I'm Will Haynes. I'm joined right now by Rick Grinnell. And Rick, I have something I need you to clear up for me because I read all the mainstream media, New York Times, you know, Washington Post, even the LA Times, just so I can find out what's going on in your beautiful home state. And I've just been told for so long that, you know, the Kennedy Center now is just this center for right-wing propaganda and everything that you've done there, Rick. And, you know, I believe it until I see things like, I mean, you hosted a News Nation Chris Cuomo town hall, and people like Ro Khanna and John Fetterman are featured there. How did that one slip through your right-wing propaganda grip, Rick?
Well, it's such a great question. Look, the reality is that the Kennedy Center is open to everyone, everyone. We have not canceled a single show. We want everyone to be welcomed at the Kennedy Center. We're open to everything as long as, you know, the programming can pay its own bills. It's a space that is open and welcome to everyone. What we've tried to implement is just we can't have programming that loses money and expects the American people just to pay for it. And so when News Nation came and said, we've got this big program, we want to talk about the issues, we're going to have Democrats, Republicans coming together, I immediately said, we want to move mountains to make sure that this happens. I love the idea. They were incredible to work with, and I hope they'll come back.
Well, and once again, I saw the imagery from it, saw the clips from it, and saw it was a full house, and it was a very diverse panel of views there. And once again,
a lot of Democrats.
Exactly. Probably not a lot of Democrats. The ones that were there, probably not the biggest fan of Rick Grinnell, but yet they were there and able to express their views.
Yeah, look, we really welcomed them. We made sure that they felt welcomed. You know, we don't want a place where when J.D. Vance walks into a theater, he's booed. This is unacceptable in the arts. You know, we're all there to be entertained. We're all there to use the space. And we've got to get back to the point where you can think differently, vote differently, but still be kind and you know, welcoming. And so we're really proud of where the Kennedy Center has been placed in America, having the premier arts institution welcome every single person and host things like News Nation. We're also hosting the FIFA World Cup draw in February. We've got the honors coming up, which I will tell you, Will, the ticket demand for the honors this year hosted by CBS at the Kennedy Center is enormous. We've never seen anything like it. And we're just going to have a packed crowd of people who are really excited to be there. And CBS is our partner. We're very excited about that.
Well, Rick, I do want to shift topics a little bit here, because right now the president is on the phone with Vladimir Putin. This is ahead of a meeting tomorrow with Zelensky of Ukraine, where it's reported there will even be discussions about Tomahawk missiles going to Ukraine. And when you see the momentum that the president has making that deal, getting to that phase one, getting those hostages released in that Gaza deal, I mean, everyone that is a detractor of the president said when that deal came out, there is no way they will even get Hamas to agree in principle to this, much less even get to phase one. Yet we've seen what everyone said was impossible, get to that phase one and continue on. And we see the pressure the president now has as that he continues to say to Hamas, you must disarm, we must rebuild this place. Now, in that context, the president is having a phone call with the president of Russia and has a meeting with the president of Ukraine tomorrow. What are your take on this, and what do you think could come out of this, especially with the wind at the back of the president right now off the heels of what is, quite frankly, miraculous that has taken place in the Middle East?
Well, look, I think what's really historic about the signing of these deals in the Middle East, the Israelis and the Arabs, is not only that they signed, but that they enthusiastically signed. I never imagined that we could get both sides so excited about peace, but they are. And I think President Trump is frustrated with Vladimir Putin and keeps trying to come up with creative ways. Certainly talking to him is important, unlike Joe Biden, who didn't talk to Putin and thought it was helpful to not talk to him. President Trump is talking to Putin, sharing with him directly what his expectations are, telling him that we've got to find solutions, creatively coming up with ideas. And I think that's exactly what the president's supposed to do. I'm so glad that he's there as someone who is focused on this. Frustrated, certainly, but very focused. And if there's anyone that can do it, it's going to be President Trump. He's already proven to find solutions for retractable problems in Africa and the Balkans, really all over the world. And now he's focused on Russia, Ukraine. And I hope that Vladimir Putin understands that peace is more important than anything else.
Well, and we saw reports from some of the hostages that when they were released, that they said that Hamas was hoping for a Harris presidency, that they didn't want a Trump presidency because, for obvious reasons at this point, because of the strength versus the attempt at soft power that the Biden administration, the continuation that we would have seen there. Do you feel like maybe some of these world leaders almost assumed that maybe because of the people that were in place that may carry over, the career government officials or military officials, that there would be this continuation of almost the Biden doctrine of soft power and hands-offness, and that they almost didn't take it? They took it for granted that when President Trump got into office for the second term, that would continue instead of seeing the strength that he's pushing?
Yeah, there's no questions that our enemies and others want to be in negotiations with a weak America. They would like it for America to literally just say things like don't.
Right.
And not really follow up, not really use all of the tools of the U.S. government. You know, the United States has a lot of tools it can use in a peaceful way, not just in a military way, but there's tariffs. There's, you know, isolation, there's sanctions, there's a whole bunch that can be done, and President Trump is really good at using the tools, the peaceful tools, to bring about change. Again, I know he's frustrated with Putin and is focused on this issue. We do need a breakthrough, and I hope that they're finding it as we speak. But I do feel incredibly safe knowing that President Trump is focused on it, because he wakes up every day thinking about peace, not about war.
Rick, thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you for that insight into the Kennedy Center and setting the record straight, what's going on there, as opposed to what I've been reading in my daily newspaper reads that you get onto me for reading. But we'll talk to you again soon, and thank you so much for joining us also on that important topic with the president's phone call with the leader of Russia. Folks, when we get back from the break, we're going to take your phone calls. Call me at 1-800-684-3110. I have a couple lines open. If you want to talk about Russia, you can. If you want to talk about what we're seeing out of the FBI director, we'll get back to that as well. 1-800-684-3110. But remember, all of this broadcast, these incredible guests that we have, the insight from Rick Grinnell and from Mike Pompeo, is all because of you. We're not an ad-supported show. We are on terrestrial radio networks. We're on Sirius XM. We're on Salem News Channel. We're on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook. We're on X. Wherever we can put this show, we will do it, because we believe in getting this message out to you, the expertise that comes from the ACLJ, and the fight that the ACLJ puts forward for the American people. We want that as many places as possible. And we're not ad-supported. We're not beholden to the organizations that sell ads and say, you can't talk about this because it might anger one of the advertisers. We are supported by you. And we do that so we can say the truth, so we can talk about the truth, so we can analyze this with the expertise that the ACLJ has and not fear the retribution of advertisers. That's why we're here. But we can't do it without you. So go to ACLJ.org today, support the ACLJ to support this broadcast and all the places we put it, to support the legal fights. We have a lot of that coming up we can tell you about in the next few days. I always say that when school is back in session, it's constitutional violation season, and we're seeing a lot of that. Whether it be supporting a teacher that was told to shut down free speech discussion in their classroom as a part of the Constitution Day discussion, or whether it be a teacher that was told she can't pray anywhere that a student can see her, we are fighting those fights. Go to ACLJ.org to support this work, or if you need help, ACLJ.org/help, and an attorney will be in touch with you.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org. KennedyCenter.org.
Welcome back to Seculo. I'm Will Haynes, and in this final segment of the broadcast today, we'll be taking your phone calls. You still have some time to get on the air. Go to 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk with me about any of the topics we discussed today. But I'm going to go right to a phone call. We're going to go to Julie from Oregon, who's been on hold for quite a while, listening on the radio. Julie, you're on Seculo.
Hi, Will. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to give a shout-out to Michelle, who is in the state right above me, Washington State. I'm calling from Oregon. At the top of the hour, your question was, do we feel encouraged? Do we feel jaded by what's going on? The interview with Kash Patel. Because of people like Michelle, people like Rick Grinnell, all of us, I'm super encouraged and even excited about what's going on. The exposure that's happening, the accountability that's happening. The interview with Jack Smith, he's not fooling anyone. Your word hilarity is right when he talks about folks retiring because Trump is a terrible authoritarian, throwing out the rules, etc. No. Talk about the temple of diseased corruption. I'm trying to
right.
These words. I love that because my thought is right along with that is the mainstream media is the diseased temple of corruption or the house right next door to it. Because
right.
For us not to be able to correctly be aware, and you should listen to Rick Grinnell about the things you're reading, Will. I would take his advice too.
Well, I mean, somebody's got to read it so we can talk about it and point it out so that we can call them out for what they're reporting. But Julie, also, I want to follow up on that because I want to play again for everyone exactly what John Solomon asked and what Kash Patel responded with. Thank you so much for calling. I am very encouraged by your words as well. But let's go ahead and play that again for people if you're just joining or missed it so you can get some context of what Julie was talking about. Bite one.
Those who are already charged, do you think you've seen other crimes that might eventually get referred to justice?
Yes, we are looking at so many different leads on criminal activity by those who are in positions of power. And we're not going to stop until every single one of those is fully exposed. The documents are provided either to Congress or the courts of law and make every referral we can to the Department of Justice. These indictments that you've seen and the ones that you're going to see coming up here in this near future are just the beginning. But I have to remind the audience one thing. Everybody's like, it's 7 months. What have you guys been doing?
Yeah.
Well, they spent 20 years building this disease mm-hmm. temple of corruption. It takes a little bit of time to defeat it and beat it down. And I'm not asking you to trust me. I'm asking you to look at the work the men and women of the FBI have done so far in these 7-8 months and just imagine what we're going to do come the year end.
And when you think about those words that he's saying as well, when he says, you know, we're not going to stop until every single one of those is fully exposed. And you talk about that the indictments you've seen and the ones that you're going to see coming up here in the near future are just the beginning. The media wants it to be like this is a retribution campaign by President Trump against people that went after him. And I think those may be the easy ones to see because, one, James Comey lied before Congress and perpetrated this entire hoax on the country with Russiagate. But then you also look at Letitia James going after that, the entire issue, the civil fraud suit that she brought in New York, and then well, they just looked at her mortgage documents as well as and found out that there was allegedly some mortgage fraud there. And John Bolton, someone that was very critical, especially with the classified documents issue. Once again, a lot of times these people that start pointing the finger are doing the very same thing themselves. But I think if I read into what Kash Patel is saying here, the media narrative of this is retribution for people that were against President Trump is not what they're doing. Not that we believe that was the case anyways, but that it does go much deeper because this 20 years they've spent building the diseased temple of corruption, that is well before President Trump was even in the political sphere. And so the corruption and the targeting of Americans and the weakening of our justice system, if it goes much deeper, Julie referenced the call screener that she saw a clip where he said, it will shock you what I've learned. I think that is where it's headed. I think the righting of the wrongs of the past 20 years that he's talking about goes much deeper than a Trump presidency and Russia collusion hoax. So I think that's what we should be looking out for, and not listening to the media saying that this is just some campaign by the president to go after his political enemies. Let's go ahead and go to Cambria, calling from Utah on line 4. Cambria, you're on Seculo.
Thank you. I just want to say that I'm excited as well about what Kash Patel and Pat Bondi are accomplishing. And I do pray that they can get majority of it at least cleaned out before the President Trump's term is ended. I had a question pop up into my head while I was waiting, and I'm just curious to know if Adam Schiff, if they've anywhere near indicting him, but to remove him from the Senate. I'm just curious why they haven't proceeded that way, since he's such a liar and a negative force in the...
Well, Cambria, he was elected by the people of California. There are things that you can be removed from office for, but I think, once again, we know that there was a at least some investigation or looking into some of the issues behind Adam Schiff. We haven't heard anything in weeks about that. But you've also seen senators, Democrat senators recently, like Bob Menendez, that was indicted and ended up stepping down from the Senate because of corruption charges that were brought against him and his wife. So I think it'd be a little bit too early for Adam Schiff to even think about, I'm needing to step down, because we haven't seen any sort of charge or anything like that. But I agree with you. I mean, sometimes in an American system, people you don't like that are corrupt do get elected. People that lie on TV and that push hoaxes on the American people do get elected. But it is important that you use your voice. You use broadcasts like this to point out when they're not telling the truth and when they're trying to pull one over on the American people, as Adam Schiff has done so many times in the past. Let's try to get one more phone call in today. Bobby calling from New York. You're on line 1. You got about 30 seconds here, Bobby.
You're a good man. Great to talk to the big shot producer. I just feel so blessed that we've got Kash Patel, because I was very concerned that his nomination was going to fail. And that's all I have to say today.
Well, thank you, Bobby. And yes, I mean, once again, when you saw how aggressive everyone came out against these picks of President Trump, he had a lot easier time in his first term, because there was a lot of people that were kind of more establishment picks. I mean, you think back to his first Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, and things of that nature that were more consensus picks within the establishment. And I think one of the blessings that we're seeing in the second Trump term is that he has experience now as president, and not just as the businessman that knew what he wanted to get done. He just put people in placeholders. He now understands how the government works and how he has to have the right people in those positions to get these things done. So even that gap, the doldrums of the Biden years, I think has brought about a much more effective way to govern the country under this type of leadership from President Trump. And that is why they oppose these nominees so desperately. They didn't want them in there because they knew that they would get to work. They wouldn't just play by the bureaucratic deep state rules and be told what to do. They would actually be leaders. Thank you for joining me today on Seculo. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.